What is up, podheads? Back with another episode of the Potty of Slate podcast. My name is Tony. I am joined, as always, by Anthony and Nate. We are in the midst of a pretty busy couple of weeks on the podcast, and really excited for this one. But Tuan, how you doing? Nate, how you doing?
I'm great, and we are in a run. So if you're here as a carryover from the Dan Lamelli Incendiary episode, we appreciate you coming. If you're new to the pod because you're a Currents fan, we appreciate you coming. If you're an OG Legacy fan,
ooh,
welcome home. Actually, I can't say welcome home because you've been home. You've been there. You're in our living room chilling, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, Siri knows it on the queue. Yeah, Potty of Slate podcast.
Next up. Hey, Alexa, next up, Potty of Slate podcast.
Every time, every
episode
day.
Episode 166.
Is that what this is? Man.
I'm guessing, but yeah, probably.
Yeah, we're getting old, dude.
Hey, why is that guy sitting on my couch, Tuan? Get out of my fucking living room, bro.
Is it like half-baked? Is a guy on the couch in the basement?
Yeah. Just hand him some headphones and say, this is episode 166. Let me know if you like it.
Are you saying he's the guy on the couch? Is he the guy on the couch?
No, the listeners.
Yeah, the listeners. Okay. Yeah.
We've invited somebody them into him in. A world, into our
somebody let him into the house.
Audio I'm not sure universe. Who. Yeah, who let him in?
I think we did. They said we don't need the key. We'll break in.
I don't care how you got here. You're here. And we had Brian Willey from Metalcore Titans Currents from not too far from our stomping grounds. They're from Fairfield, Connecticut. Been in the game for, almost 15 years at this point. But Brian's the vocalist, as you know. We talk his come up. We talk how he joined the band, the growth. Massive growth. We actually have some cool tidbits about that. New album that at this point just came out. The Death We Seek came out May 5th, Sharptone Records. A lot of people say an album of the year. I know it's early. A lot of people get caught up in the moment, but a lot of people aren't wrong either so far.
I mean, it's one of my faves so far.
There you go. You heard it first. We talk upcoming tour with Like Moths to Flames and Foreign Hands. And man, they're filling some big rooms. We get into all that. Brian, honestly, probably one of my favorite guests that we've had up to this point.
It was cool to hear his process and stuff. Like he does both the clean singing and the screaming for the band. And to pull that off, both in recorded fashion and then again live, man, that's got to take some fucking talent. And he has it. And I mean, the record is no slouch. Go check it out. I'm still trying to figure out how he got into my living room, but shit, I'm happy he did. And yeah, let's hit up that conversation right now with Brian Willey of Currents.
All right, Brian, thanks for coming on with us, man. Really appreciate it. We've been digging what you guys have been doing, and it's cool. We're all from the greater New England area. So you're from Connecticut, right?
Yep, from Connecticut.
Nice. Yeah, we're all from Maine. So we all kind of have a similar DNA in that New England is like a powerhouse for heavy music, for heavy metal. So is that, I guess, a natural progression for you to jump into that scene, right?
Yeah, I never really thought about how many bands were from, some from Connecticut, you know, like you've got like Hatebreed and a few other bands that have like origins in Connecticut. And then you have stuff like Killswitch Engage, All the Remains, Shadows Fall, you know, just to name like a few. Where it's like, oh my god, all these like legendary metalcore bands are all from like the area. They're all from like close by, like the Acacia Strain as well, close by. And it feels like there's this like, yeah, something interesting going on up here. And it feels like, I don't know, I'm super inspired by all those bands. Those are bands that I was getting into when I was getting into like the scene, or I guess just learning about more heavy music and getting more familiar with the genre and all that, and then to come to find out that like a lot of that stuff came from here. And you know, there's kind of like a pipeline in New England as far as like this type of music goes. It was kind of just like, oh wow, it's really cool. It feels like we're kind of like following in the footsteps of like some of these other bands, even if we don't get to accomplish some of the things that they got to. It's like, it's cool to kind of be in that space, you know.
Well, it's funny you say pipeline. That pipeline ended at the border of New Hampshire and Maine, because we can't contribute much as far as metal and metalcore. Like, some bands came out, but yeah, you get the Hatebreeds and 100 Demons and Blood Has Been Shed and all those bands from CT proper. So were you into that growing up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like growing up, I had seen 100 Demons a couple times. mostly because that was like, I was younger when I was kind of getting up and into everything. And so when I did see some of these bands, I didn't exactly appreciate like how cool it really was. I mean, 100 Demons, last time I got to see them, I was like, wow, yeah, that's awesome. Connecticut, like super sick. But yeah, like that's the thing. It's like the more you learn about these bands coming up from the area, the more you're inspired to like do more, you know. You're like, okay, there's people with eyes on this area, like we could make something happen here if we're good enough, you know, and we work hard enough.
One, I mean, that's definitely happening for you guys right now. There's some buzz around the record, which we'll talk about in a minute, but how do you figure out that you can both sing and scream? Like when does that happen?
I tried to learn screaming way before I tried to learn singing. I knew I always wanted to be in a band, and I had like different instruments that I wanted to like learn. I tried this one, that one didn't work. And, you know, funny enough, another kind of like New England band, All That Remains, I was like, I was into them growing up. And then for some reason with his voice, like Phil's voice in particular, something clicked for me where I was like, oh, this guy is singing really well and he's screaming all these different ranges and he can do it all, you know? And that's like, I'm like, there has to be something to it. And then that's kind of when I learned about like Most Across and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can maybe learn how to scream, you know? And singing never really crossed my mind, but then like I would look up tutorials on YouTube and this and that, and like a Godzilla screaming and like try to learn. And then once I kind of like got it, that was when I started kind of like, you know, getting the opportunities to like join bands in school and stuff. And, you know, just kind of by like luck and happenstance and like hanging out with friends, and you know, you find out, oh, this person does that. And I didn't really start singing until I joined Currents. Wait, I'd always kind of done it. Yeah. What? I'd always kind of done it as a hobby sort of thing. And just like, you know, I would just do it to like try it out and just have fun with it. If you're just like, you really like a song and you want to sing along, like that kind of thing. But I never tried to seriously sing in any of my other previous bands. I was always just like the screamer guy, like the metal vocalist, you know? And I think with Currents, there was kind of this turning point where they wanted me to be in the band, but they also wanted to grow as a band, and they knew that I could to some degree. So they're like, right, well, if we're going to have you hop in, you know, we want you to kind of like expand more. We want you to like kind of try to grow and like learn how to sing and like all this stuff. And that's where we're at.
That's amazing. And you know what underscores is the fact that you can learn fucking anything on YouTube. And
it's very true.
You got your training on there. We dug up like an audition tape on YouTube and we were thinking like, damn, dude, it's fucking like you nailed that part. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there on
is
YouTube.
Is it the Northlane one?
It's the Northlane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That got me in Currents.
Okay. That's kind what we of, figured. But we weren't of. Sure.
Yeah, because I wanted to join Northlane because I was like, ooh, I'm like, there's no way it's gonna happen. But like, me and my friend worked super hard on that video. We like, my friend Randy, who's done like all my other bands like pre Currents, and he did my first like single with Currents. He like recorded it, and then me and my friend Vinny like put the video together for hours and put it in because they had just lost Adrian and they were looking for a vocalist. And then I, you know, uploaded mine to YouTube, and then like a day or two later, Jeff, who was drumming for Currents, and we're friends at the time, he's like, oh, they already picked their people, dude, you fucked up. And I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, he's just like roasting me, and he's just like, oh, it's really good though. And then when push came to shove and they needed a new vocalist, that was the video that they used to kind of sell the rest of the band on me. And the rest is history, I guess.
That's awesome. And like, and again, the power of YouTube, right? Whether you're learning stuff or putting yourself out there for people to find you, like it's amazing that stuff can happen.
Yeah. It's like a mix of like the personal connection and then the putting yourself out there. Like that's how we found Matt, our drummer now. Cause when Jeff left and we needed somebody else, we were looking around, racking our brain, couldn't figure it out. And then our friend Burke, who's done like video work for us in the past and just all around like homie, I guess one of our managers, Josh, was just venting to him. He's like, we can't find anybody. We got this, you know? And Burke's like, just uploaded this video to YouTube of this guy who quit his job to play drums more. Check it out. And, you know, boom, there's a video. Essentially, like, what we saw is, like, you know, the best drummer that we've ever seen. And we're just like, oh, great, perfect.
You know what your story is? It's the metal version of Journey, finding Arnell, their vocalist, because he was in a cover band from, I think it was YouTube.
Oh my god. That's awesome. Yeah, you never know. That's the thing. Like, sometimes people just get pulled right up off of YouTube. Like, they'll just have like a good following. They'll be really talented, and some random band will just be like, "Yo, you want to play drums for us? Because you're really sick, and I know you like our music." And they're just like, "Oh, okay."
So when you like, what was how did you find out that you either were going to get asked or were chosen?
It was a situation of I was in a bunch of other bands at the time. I was in like Connecticut bands growing up, like parallel to Currents, I guess. Maybe not parallel because we play the same shows and all that shit. But like, you know, they were like the big band in Connecticut for like the scene. It was like them, Forsaken, and then like a few other bands who our guitar player Ryan actually played guitar in this band Forsaken that was big in Connecticut around the time. Before he joined Currents. And I knew all these guys. Like, we were friends. We would hang out. We'd go to Denny's after shows and stuff. And it was kind of this thing where I kind of just like maintained a relationship with these people. Like, they knew that I was like what I did because they'd seen me perform in my other bands. And they just knew that I was like, wanted to do it. I wanted to keep going with it. Like, and just bands weren't working out. Like, I would do something and then it would kind of just kind of fizzle out, or like we couldn't find like the right members, or like we'd write music, but then like it just didn't go anywhere or whatever. Like, it was like 5+ bands or like projects that I tried to do before Currents. And then they were in a position where they knew they needed a new singer because they knew the Patrizio, the one at the time, just didn't want to do it anymore. Right. And, they would joke with me like, "Oh, you're next, dude, you're next." And I'm just like, "Shut up, like, don't say that to me, like, this fucked up." And so like the time did come where he was kind of just like, "Hey, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore." And they were like, "Well, are you ready?" And I was like, I guess, well, what do you mean? Because I didn't know what was like happening, I guess. And then I just get a phone call like, "Oh, you're in the band." I'm like, great.
Wow. And that's like 8 years ago now, right? So 2015.
Yeah, actually, that's crazy to think about. Yeah. 2015, I was 8 years ago. Oh my God, I've been a band for 8 years now.
Yeah, almost a decade, man.
I thought you were going to say I was eight, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been in the band longer than the band was a band before I was in the band.
Yeah, yeah. That's
weird.
Pretty wild.
So
yeah,
trippy, yeah.
All right, let's talk new music. New album, The Death We Seek. We're talking to you a couple days before it came out, but this is going to drop after. So it's out. Go listen to it. If you haven't listened to it yet, I don't know why you're listening to us first. Go listen to that. But Sharp Tone Records dropped on May 5th. I want to ask you, people ask this question all the time, and we've done it. We always are like, what are you most excited about? No, let's find something else. Let's not go down that route. You're probably excited that it's coming out. Why wouldn't you be? It's art, all that stuff. What are you least excited about? Like, what's worrisome? What's going through your head right now?
Oh man, just like the process, like the, you know, just all of like trying to get everything together and get everything ready, like last like music videos and stuff like that. You're just like, ah, but like, it's great. It's fine. Mostly. Yeah. I guess it's like, you know, the bundle of nerves. Cause like, I mean, half the record's out already right now, but like, there's still so much that people haven't heard yet. And like we were just talking about like some of our favorite songs. Well, yeah, our favorite songs aren't even out yet. So like, it's a good spot to be in, and hopefully people are like excited about it. And I just getting to see people's reactions and stuff, it's like I am excited because I feel like it's going to be overwhelmingly like pretty good. But yeah, it's just the nerves of like, oh, are people going to think this part sucks or like what? But we'll find out, I guess.
And having to do all these pressers with all these randos, right? Like,
that's fine. Well, cause this is fun. This is like, I was thinking about it cause I don't do a lot of interviews. And then when we go to like album cycle time and like the album's about to come out and now you're talking about it, I forgot how much fun that is because I haven't got to talk about this with anybody, you know?
And I mean, for us, we've heard it, but for at this point, the public hasn't heard it. When they listen to this, they hopefully have heard it, but yeah, it's like, We've talked to a lot of bands like in this stage where post pandemic, the record was written. And by the time it comes out, they're kind of sick of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like 3-year-old songs that are now like, all right, time to show it to the world.
Yep. That's usually our experience. But like, you know, yeah, because I mostly get sick of it when we're doing like the mixing and mastering and all that. And you're just like, oh my God, the song I've heard like 100 times. Is it right yet? You know? And like, and then it is, and you're like, okay, good. And you're not even happy about it. You're just like satisfied. You're just like, okay, I don't have to listen to this anymore. And then
I know that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, but it doesn't mean anything bad. Cause it's like, you know that you like it and you're just like, I know I like this. It's just, you can't think about that anymore. But like, cause if you start second guessing, then it's just a even worse nightmare. And I've seen bands just dig themselves into the floor, trying to like keep fixing things and this and that. But yeah, you kind of just set it and forget it after a little bit, and then you forget, and like all that time goes by, and there's songs on the record that I still haven't really like listened to in a while, you know, like it's been a minute since I've heard them. And then when these people being the rest of the world, I guess, hear it for the first time, that kind of reinvigorates how much I remember. I'm like, oh yeah, this is sick, you know, like just getting that first impression from other people, it like revalidates our you know, the songs and like what we did in that time, and the decisions that we made putting it all together. And then you're like, yeah, and then you remember how much you like it again, and then you play it for like a year and a half, and then you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, but right, so you get it for 4.5 years where everybody else has had it for a year and a half, and maybe get to see a song once live or twice live.
Yeah, there's some stuff I still love playing even though we've done it like probably 1,000 times by now, but you know.
That's interesting insight. It's like you guys, because you're in the band, have like this personal Facebook memories of like recording and everything that went into that record. You're like, dude, I'm so, the connotation to this alone is like very much, you know, 2021, but you know, now we're done, let's roll. And it got me thinking, like, I used to work a lot, like predominantly in alcohol, wine and spirits production. And like, there was like this funny saying, especially in NorCal, which is like, it takes a lot of good beer. We get like beer delivered from Lagunitas to make wine. And it's like not always parallel. Is that something that you experienced? Like you're writing a metal record, but you know, you're listening to Foreigner in the 80s. I just bring that up because we were talking about the 80s the other day.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we don't have like the traditional studio experience really. We had the whatchamacallit, we had our first record, The Place I Feel Safest, where we were like all in the same place for a month. And, you know, recording the songs every day and like writing the songs every day and like all of that. And that was the last time that we had like the real studio experience. Now it's more like we will go to like Chris's place and, you know, we'll have Ryan LaTrue, who has produced everything that we've done since I Let the Devil In. So pretty much every Currents project since The Place I Feel Safest, which was Andrew Wade. But we'll have him come to Connecticut. We'll go to Chris's place that's also in Connecticut, and we'll all kind of like go over everything, and then we all go home, and then we come back, and then we all go home, you know? But yeah, I guess when you're in the car and stuff, you're thinking about, honestly, to fully answer your question, when we're writing music, I'm not really listening to music.
Oh, okay.
Right. I spend a long time, like, just for some reason, I forgot about this actually, cause it's been a little while, but I feel like I can't listen to anything because I don't want that weird like bleed thing to happen where, right, like,
yep,
you're just like, oh my God, we just totally ripped off this riff and we didn't even know it. Like, I'm so scared of that. We're like, oh my God. But like, no. Also, I just feel like if I'm going to fully focus on what we're going to do, I have to take everything that I've like learned and like had in my brain already. And I can't spoil that with like other things. Like, I won't listen to new music. I won't listen to like, maybe I'll listen to something I like for like inspo that like I know and I'm like familiar with and I've heard a million times, but I won't listen to anything like new, especially unless it's completely like divergent. And even then, probably not.
How is it having Chris in the band? Cause I feel like it's a cheat code, but then it's like, is he too close to this? You know, like, how is that?
It's interesting because yeah, he is a cheat code. Yeah. I would say that he's very, very talented and very self-sufficient, and he will, yeah, he'll, and this has always been my experience with Chris, even like in like 2012 and 2013 and whatever, like, or maybe not that early, probably like 2014-ish, having him write, like I was trying to do a project with Chris like way before Currents was a thing. Oh, and wow. Then I guess like it was the same deal where he would write full songs out on his computer, you know, program drums, like layers of guitar, all of that. And it would be like this cohesive project that was like, you know, perfectly ready for like the studio, perfectly ready for someone to go in and put vocals on. And that's just been the experience with Chris, like over the years, where it's like, yeah, he's just like, all right, here's this banger, and you're gonna put vocals on it. And I'm like, okay, great. And then we do that. Sometimes we'll tinker with things, we'll move parts around. I'll be like, oh, this part maybe is kind of weird, I don't know what to do there, what were you thinking? And then, you know, you kind of just go back and forth from there. But yeah, he's very good at, as far as being too close to it, he's very good at taking his own things and moving them around. And like, he's malleable in the sense of like, if he really likes a part, he's not gonna want to change it, which is fine. Or he'll just be like, no, you're bugging, like this is perfect. But if it's something where he's like, oh yeah, you know, kind of phone this part in, I can do something else, he'll just pick up a guitar and he will just bam, 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 and like just make something new on the spot in like 30 seconds. And you're just like, oh, okay. Well, if it's that easy, I guess. But
human AI is what they call that.
Yeah, he's essentially like a human, yeah, robot. There's like a part of his brain that's just like a little chip, you know, that just, I don't know how he does it. It's insane. It's honestly years of practice and dedication.
He got the Elon chip early.
Yeah, yeah, years Neuralink. Of practice, dedication, and then some like intangible thing that you can't really like just have, you know. But
well, you need those people, that. Right? You need those people that know how to do that, and then can also just be like, all right, let's flip the switch and do something completely different so I can change that up and have that like depth and wealth of knowledge in their head already.
Yeah, there's another cool thing with Chris too, where like when we were in the studio doing Death We Seek for Vengeance, that was a song that was kind of like written in the studio. It was like he had like this like heavy demo thing that we didn't really know what to do with. I tried to put vocals on it and it just didn't work out. And then like we kind of like took apart the parts that were good and kind of had like the overall like mood and tone of the piece. And then when Ryan is there, like he sometimes will like pick up a guitar just to like mess around with it and like have fun, but he's never like playing anything that's on the record. He's there watching Chris play and he'll be like, oh, maybe do something like this, or like move your finger like here or here. Like he's never like telling Chris what to do necessarily, but will like coach him to put him in the right spot to put the right thing in that section, if you know what I mean. And then he'll just kind of like watch Chris and like help Chris kind of like move through and get a song together, and they'll kind of collaboratively put that together. And that was Vengeance. Like they kind of were both like, oh, put this here, do this, maybe we'll do this and we'll do this. And then you just watch them write a song in like the span of like a couple hours.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. When that is happening, do you have lyrics already ready for it, or do you hear what they have and then that kind of gives you something, or how does that work?
That was like a particularly interesting experience, because usually lyrics for the most part are like written way before we get there. And then whatever you got to fix, you got to fix. In this particular instance, like for the Death We Seek, I made it kind of a clear point not to write too many lyrics before we got there, because I wanted to kind of challenge myself and see, like, I've heard of other bands' processes where, you know, this vocalist won't write a word until the instruments are done, you know? And I was always like, well, that's kind of interesting, because then, you know, you don't have to like have something stuck in your head that you know you like, and now you can't change it and come up with something new because something's already there and you're just set with what that part is because you like it, you know? So I wanted to avoid as much of that as possible. And I felt like the only way to do that was if I wasn't 100% sure that everything in the song was going to stay the same, I wasn't going to write anything for it. And so some songs had like full lyrics where I was very confident that the song was like not really going to get changed at all. And then other stuff I waited. So in the case of Vengeance, I couldn't have written anything in advance because it wasn't written yet. So that was a time where I would basically just go to a coffee shop for a couple hours and I would just grind out the lyrics for stuff that wasn't done yet. And then I would come back and just record it. And if people liked it, great. If they hated it, great. But no one hated it, so it was awesome.
That's really cool. It also probably gives you some differentiation of like, okay, this is definitely going to be more of a singing part, and this is going to be more of like a screaming part. And it got us thinking, is that something you have to consciously schedule for yourself? Like, okay, Tuesday's a scream day, I know I can pull it off. Wednesday, I'm going to do more, you know, melodies and softer stuff.
I'm trying to think if on this one, because there's, we've done it all different ways when we're like tracking stuff. So like for pre-production, like when Ryan is there, like we'll spend, me and Chris will spend like, by the time we're ready for like the studio and like finalizing the record, we've been writing things back and forth for like over a year or like 2 years or whatever. And like, he'll have demos from like, you know, different age ranges, like a year to 2 years. And I will go and like spend all that time kind of like living life and like putting stuff together in my own time. You know what I mean? Like recording demos at my house and like going back and forth. And then I'll, you know, every couple of weeks I go to Chris's house and we like record the vocal, like the official vocal demo, like at his place. And then that's kind of when we'll start thinking about things that we want to change. And then I'll go back and revise it. So we already do a lot of like legwork before we get there for like that year, 2 years. So by the time we get there to finalizing, a lot of that stuff is pretty comfortable, unless we just have spent the whole time being like, yeah, we don't know. But like, yeah, when it comes to recording stuff, like final and the final finality, like what you're going to hear on the album, we've done it all different ways where it's like, you do the singing first and then you do the screaming and then you do the this and then that. Or we've also done it where we just go song by song. So whatever's in the song, you just have to do that day. And you just check the songs off like, all right, one, done, two, done, which I feel like could be like a little more daunting, you know? Like, I like the idea of like just, you know, doing the screams first, doing the singing first, then the harmonies or whatever. Personally, I like to save screams for last, but I also don't mind just doing it all in one go, because I feel like that is also like pretty challenging in and of itself and something that you should be able to do. So like, I'd be curious to like go through that process again.
That was actually what I was going to say. It's like, at least it's like almost like a warm up to, hey, you're going to have to execute this live anyway, so you might as well just do it. But again, yeah, if you want to be able to nail the screaming parts, you can't be dried up before, you know, you have to kind of save it and salvage that. So I can see both angles.
Yeah. There's a lot of times where like when we were doing the demos, especially in this process for The Death We Seek, it was like the vocals weren't done yet, you know, and so I still had to record the demo so everyone could hear what it was supposed to be. And to do that, everybody's in the room while I'm like physically recording it, which is not usually ever a thing. So in this process, it was like, all right, I got the lyrics. You want to hear them? And they're like, okay. And I would basically perform the song in front of everybody in one go and be like, okay, cool, what do you think? And everyone's like, oh, wow. That was like Beyond This Road, if you guys know that one. There was like parts where I had to like re-record it because something was wrong or like the timing was weird. Or I forgot. I don't even think we had a demo of it yet. I just had the lyrics written, but I never went to Chris's to record it. So when we did Beyond This Road and we didn't have a demo of vocals to listen back to, I just had to sing the whole song so that we did. And then there's like that whole fast section in the second verse. And then they were literally just like laughing because it was just like, oh my God. Okay. I was like, I promise I can do that. They're like, oh, we know. Like, we know you can do that. Like,
yeah.
We love like all that behind the scenes stuff, because there's so many different ways, and we've talked to so many different bands that do it differently. Like, there's themes and lyrics that vocalists have already cooked up, or they're reacting to the music. For me personally, I would think like hearing the music would spawn emotion that, maybe if I already have like a booklet of lyrics, like I could tailor it to that. And then to take that a step further, so you have the music, you have the lyrics, and then you have the visual and the optics, and the artwork is insane. Like, it's just, there's some bands where the artwork is a detractor because you're left like, what's going on? It almost takes away, where in this case, I think it enhances it. It's a companion to the noise. And I found myself when I was listening to the album, putting myself in the world of the visuals. And it's like, this is a chaotic movie that I don't want to leave, you know?
Sick.
Yeah, it's cool. And I know that like on the way it ends, I would assume there's a theme there. If people are paying attention, was that like intentional? I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For the way it ends and the place that feels safest, it was very kind of like intentional where we knew that we had those people in the on the back of the cliff that were following. And I'm like, I want to follow their situation. And we go and we see that. And now I'm like, okay, so we have this void. And now where is, what is that? Like, what is that open to? What's happening now? And I don't know, like, for the death we seek, you notice that there's just like a hole in the ground where you know, we have this figure coming out of, and in my brain it's like, that's what came out of that. That's what's like, you know, we have this apocalyptic event of sorts, and now it's just spreading even more, just, you know, it's just getting even worse, and we're just seeing the you know, the real like fallout of everything. But yeah, it was super intentional. Jim absolutely smashed the album artwork, where we had had other things in the works where it wasn't landing the right way. And all we care about at the end of the day is if that art is like a visual representation of where we, it has to be exactly what we want it to be. And that's what Jim did. So it was tight. We were really satisfied with it.
Well, because some bands just put their logo. It's like, come on, don't be lazy. You know what I mean? This is like, I love that you said intentional, because that's how it seems like there's, and I'm sure there's layers that are intentional that we haven't even picked up on, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a me problem. I think I got to get better about that. I want to like, kind of like build the story a little more, but at the same time, I don't want to do it too much where it's like, I'm a big fan of like, I don't know if anybody's like a gamer in here. I'm a big fan of like Dark Souls and like that entire like series of games, like Elden Ring, like all that stuff, where they basically just dump you into the game and they say, relight the bonfire. And that is your mission for the game. The game is hours and hours and hours and hours long. That is what you like go off of. Anything you learn about the story or the characters or anything is just like item descriptions. There's no real, like, there's like little dialogue here and there with like the five or six people that you meet in the game. And that's it. And I love that, because there's so much that they do not tell you that you have to learn yourself. And there's entire YouTube channels and people that have made careers out of basically like pulling everything out of the game, because it's just such a fascinating piece of literature at that point, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And that's a world that has all of that. We call that stuff nerdery. It has all that stuff.
You need the nerd.
Yeah, you do. And
along
like
with the nerd.
Exactly. Finding these things out. Sometimes you find it out in conversations like this. Sometimes you find it out on your 10th listen to a record. Sometimes you just stumble through a YouTube rabbit hole and you find stuff. So we love that stuff. It's the best.
Yeah. So I don't know. I want to lean more into that direction, but I think the best we're doing now is just to keep it subtle and keep it like interesting and leave it so that you know that there is that trail of consistency. And if we do diverge from that, then you can expect something different, so to speak, you know?
It comes across as art and not a product, if that makes sense. And I think like this is just a full body of work. And, you know, on the seventh listen or whatever it's been, I'm still digging it. So
that's sick. That's sick. I know. I was hoping people weren't upset that it was like, because I, you know, people will say like, oh, why isn't it like 13 songs? Why not this many songs? It's like this was the best of the best that we could put together. And there were other things that just were not ready to, weren't ready to come out yet. And actually probably will be hopefully soon, but,
nice,
you know, like, yeah, it was a nice, smooth, even process. Everything felt right. And, you know, the number felt right. And we're just like really happy with it. And I would rather you listen to 10 songs over and over again than have a 15 song record that you fall asleep halfway through.
Right. Yeah. You're like, oh man, I wish this was a little tighter. You don't necessarily want that.
Yeah, exactly. Or just like you know, interludes and this and that, which is fine. Those are really cool. I like those, but it's just like, then you're just kind of working toward a number at that point. We should just start making 10-minute songs.
Yeah, man.
And then we can only have three and then it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Works for August Burns Red, right?
They got 10-minute songs.
They got that new record has a couple long ones. Yep,
that's fire. That's how you know. That's how you know that you're a really good band, is that you can make like a 6-7+ minute song that's like really good all the way through and still sounds like your band. You know,
hell yeah, dude.
So what comes on the heels of new music is touring, obviously. So there's a tour that was just announced in May and June, like Moss to Flames, Foreign Hands. I love Foreign Hands. Like, I love them. So I don't know if you guys picked them.
That band is awesome. That band is so awesome.
So good.
Yeah, they were kind of, I would say, suggested to us in the sense of, like, I know Foreign Hands and I like Foreign Hands, but I never would have thought that they would want to do it necessarily, just because of like the genre like difference and all that stuff. But you know, we were told like, hey, like, just do Foreign Hands. Foreign Hands would be down to do it. It'd be really cool, and they're a great band. I'm like, I know. So I was like, wait, they would want to do it? Great, cool. So that was easy clap. And yeah. Anyway, yeah. So sorry. Shout out Foreign Hands. Stoked to tour with you.
Yeah. So headlining for you guys, I looked at a number of the venues, 800 to 1,000 cap rooms. Some venues are getting upgraded. Some are low tickets. Some are sold out. And it's a cool full story. Must be for you guys, because you opened for like Moss to Flames in 2017. Now you're headlining. So like, I don't know. Things are going good in the Currents camp.
Oh, yeah. We've toured with like Moss to Flames. We did, 2017. I'm glad that you saw that, because yeah, that was like one of our first like cool, like big things that we did. We had done like a few, like we toured before that, but like, it was like, oh cool, like Moss to Flames, like this is fucking awesome. And you know, and they were so cool and chill, and the shows were awesome, and it was just like a great experience. And then yeah, we did another tour with them with Biffer King, I believe, and that was awesome. Yeah, it was Biffer King. And that we kind of got to know them like a lot more again, like super chill, super awesome experience. Like those guys are great. And then yeah, this rolls around and we were kind of like racking our brains trying to figure out like, who are we gonna have on this tour, like what's gonna happen. And then they actually tweeted something. They were like, oh, Currents, take us on tour challenge. And I was like, dude, there's no way. And wow. It's like, you guys would really do that? Like, you would want to do that? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh shit, well, okay. So you know, it was like so much better than anything else we were thinking at the time, just based on what we thought was possible, you know what I mean? And so yeah, still can't believe it. Like, that's gonna be awesome. And then having Invent, of course, having Unity is gonna be really awesome. They kind of like trade off days and stuff, but even the days where we have neither band, they're still doing really well. So like, that also has us feeling like, yeah, like Florida, it's gonna be like one of the biggest shows of the tour, and it's just us, Moss and Foreign Hands, and it's just like, woo,
that's,
you know,
cool. Yeah, that's cool. So what are you doing to prep? Like, we talk about you going into the studio and having a day where maybe you scream, or having a day where you do everything like you would for a live show. What do you do to prep for a headlining set vocally?
So it's interesting, because we've had like a lot of these warm up kind of, well, not, I don't want to say warm up, that's messed up, but like we've had some smaller scale, like big scale, small run of dates, tours this year. Like, we did Parkway Drive, that was like just like 2 weeks, and massive obviously, but like a short run where we did that. And then we had Killswitch Engage, which was like 5 days, but it was a 40-minute set, which is like longer than we're used to doing consistently. So that was like some pretty good practice there, because as much as I can practice at home and I'll sit here for like, you know, an hour, like every so often, and like, you know, try to go through the set and get like acclimated to the space and all of that stuff, when you're actually up there, it feels like you didn't practice at all, because it's so much different. And like, the adrenaline is such a different thing, and it kind of like helps you, and it also hurts you in a sense where, like, for me, I have to be very like in the mindset. It's a mental game. And like, you know, like when you get up there, it's so much different than just doing it on your own, where there's just nothing really like stimulating you mentally to like get it done. But and in my experience, we did like our Hartford headline show, and that was like a similar set length. I forget if it's like, it might have been like a little longer, or it could have been like about the same, but I just remember being like, wow, that felt really good, because it's like our own show, we're going through all this stuff that people are really stoked on. And I just feel like when we go and we take that to like headlining a tour, I feel like I'm just gonna be like cloud 9. It's gonna be awesome.
And you kind of answered my next question for the most part, but I was just thinking, like, in context of like being a kid in high school, like, oh man, like if you're going last when you're presenting in front of the class, you have all this time to like mentally prepare, but you also kind of have time to get super nervous. So that transition from an opener to like a headliner must be a trip. And this is what's going to be happening here on this tour for you, right? Is there a different agenda protocol for you warm up wise? Do you not watch side stage and get worn out and scream with the openers and you just kind of do your own thing, or how does that work?
So, yeah, I mean, generally my process is pretty similar. Like, I mean, when you're headlining, you feel like you have like way longer of a time to just like wait to like play your set. But like following up like Moss to Flames and like Invent and like Unity and like all these bands is going to be really challenging, I feel like. And it's going to be really inspiring as well, because it's just going to be like, all right, well, now we have to just go up there and like kick ass, because everyone else kicks so much ass that like we can't suck. So, you know, or else we're just like the dummies. But we're like, I don't know, like usually what I'll do personally on tour is I just try to be as relaxed as possible. Like I used to have, you know, I would do like this and that on tour. Like I would do merch and I would like settle and like all this stuff. And I kind of like, as the band kind of grew, we like removed those responsibilities, I guess, so that like I could just focus on doing the thing and like playing the show and do everything we have to do to like make sure that the show goes properly. And a lot of that for me is just trying to be as relaxed as possible, keep that blood pressure low, stay hydrated, sleep. So I'll likely be sleeping most of the days, trying to stay healthy, work out, eat good, and we'll just see what happens, you know?
I think that leap, and I'm not a musician, so it's tough for me to say, but from my perspective, I think the leap from being a small band to a band your size from a live perspective is way bigger than people imagine. Because you got to figure, local show you're coming up is just a PA, the shitty PA. You can probably barely hear yourself. Then you play bigger gigs. You have monitors, you know, there's different sound levels. And then, you know, you see bands with vocalists with earpieces to hear, so they can hear themselves. And
that's your boy. It's me.
There you go. So like,
we're graduated.
Yeah. So you, nice. Or like a wireless mic, you know, it's all these things that it moves from being like a practice in front of people to a show, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, oh wow, we are just full on expected to just bring the full on production and be like these, you know, rock star guys, I guess. But I'm trying not to think about that so much, because
sorry, I brought it up.
Oh no, you're good. I feel like the vibe of this tour in particular, like we started this year off doing just like big scale, like 1,000, 15,000, 2,000 cap rooms, whatever, which is super cool and awesome, right? But you're playing to a new audience for the most part, and the shows are great. Like there's good interaction and all that stuff, but you know, there is that sense that they're not really there for you, which is fine. And that's why you're there. But like going into these, the scale is smaller for the most part. You're talking like 500, 750, maybe 1,000, you know, in some of these shows, which is really awesome. But like the scale is smaller. It's going to be way more intimate. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to really just like, you know, be able to like, it's tangible. Like I can go into the crowd if I wanted to, you know, and just like be there with everybody. And I feel like that kind of energy is going to be awesome. That's going to be just what we need, you know, especially for like such a long set. And so I'm kind of looking forward to like the wall being a lot more like down than it has been lately. Like it's going to be great to be in these like intimate environments, these like smaller clubs. And like if something got upgraded, it got upgraded. But for the most part, it's just going to be like it's going to be a fucking party. Like it's going to be sick.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. What of the new songs are you most excited to play? What are the ones that you're like, I don't know, that's going to be a lot?
Yeah. I didn't think about how much Remember Me was probably going to be, but like that song's awesome and I love playing it. That chorus kind of a ripper sometimes, but it's awesome and like really fun. A lot of it, yeah, we tack on to the end of the set usually, so like you're pretty tired by then. but like you're excited about it because it's new and you haven't played it yet, so it's like your second wind kind of comes back. We were doing Remember Me and So Alone on this last run. And both songs awesome, but like So Alone, like really fast vocals going into a really high chorus. It's like, oh wow, okay. It's ambitious, but it's a lot of fun. And it just feels like I have like the most fun playing that song. Like it's just that's a lot of fun. That's like the one that's like most like in my wheelhouse, I feel like, that like we've played yet, or at least like my most like stylistically, that's like my favorite kind of song. It reminds me a lot of like that song Split that we have on The Way It Ends. I'm like, that's like one of my favorite songs. And for some reason, it kind of carries that same kind of energy for me. And stuff that I'm kind of like, oh no. I don't know.
Not to bring you down, just, you know.
Are you guys going to play Over and Over?
Oh, Over and Over. Yeah. Honestly, that one.
There we go. Okay.
That one, I think, will be fine. That chorus is really cool. And like, I feel like that's like a super like sing along kind of thing. So like, I think just the energy that one is going to bring is going to make it a lot more like doable for me, so to speak. And then like the verses and stuff aren't that bad. Like the verses are very just like, girl, whoa, you know, like it's, like the vocals, like the delivery is a lot like slower, I guess. And it's not as taxing as like So Alone would be, where like you have all these words in the verse because there was just a lot to say, I guess. And then like, I feel like Over and Over is kind of like, not the opposite of that, but like we've tried to be a little bit more intentional with the word placement. Like it's a lot lower, like slow and kind of like groovy. And so it lends for like a slower vocal delivery. So that stuff, that I feel like will be good. And that's like, that song's got like a nice mix of things. So yeah. Over and Over would be awesome. Living in Tragedy, I feel like, is going to be psychotic because the song is just ridiculous, but it's also really good. That one is just like, there's a lot of range going on in there, but like, I like that because it keeps it fresh for my brain and gives me more things to think about while we're doing the thing. And like, people like the lows, so that's good.
Yeah. Over and Over has got like something for everyone. And the reason I asked about that live is like, it's got crazy guitar runs. It's got everything.
That song is very just like fist in the air. Like that's just what I think. I'm just like, you know, it's very like metal in the sense, like it kind of gives me like the verses give me like this weird, like Misery Signals kind of vibe, even though it doesn't really sound like them. Like, I just kind of think I'm like, I don't know. At least for like some of the vocal delivery, that was kind of what I had in mind. And then the chorus is very just like, I don't know, like triumphant. And like, it's funny thinking about this stuff, but there is a lot going on in there. I feel like if we do play that live, that'll be like a pretty good one, but people got to learn it first.
Yeah, they will. They will. The new record's out. Go listen to it right now. The Death We Seek on Sharptone. And man, excited for what's coming for Currents and you personally, Brian. Excited to talk to you today too. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. This was awesome. Like I said, it's great getting to talk about the new stuff and, you know, just hash it out with people that heard it, you know.
Appreciate it. Maybe we'll see you at the Worcester Palladium.
Oh, come through. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to do it, Joel. We got to find our way, man.
Yeah. It's going to be a little crowded in there, but like, yeah, it should.
Yeah. That show will. It'll do well. It'll sell out if it hasn't already.
I wanted to move it up. Everyone's like, no, we can't. Like, come on. It's gonna be so much more comfortable, but I don't know. It'll be hot and it'll be sweaty, but it'll be great.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing
wrong with that.
That's the Palladium. That's the description of the Palladium.
Yeah. Hot and sweaty.
Hot and sweaty.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Awesome, yeah. Dude. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.